proclaiming the glory of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, as he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They, too, were in a boat, mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Did you ever for a moment just ask yourself a simple question? What's in your name? What's in your name? Shakespeare asked the same question in Romeo and Juliet, never really provided an answer. But if we think about that question, what is in a name, we can quickly come to the conclusion that there's a lot in the names that we bear and the names that we were given. Our names give us an identity. Our names mark us as unique and special and different. In the gospel of today, Jesus names his disciples, the 12 men who will follow him as he begins his public ministry. But if you parse the text, you find there's something interesting within it that oftentimes we don't talk much about. First, the Lord, when he calls them, gets to know them, understand who they are, and after that, he names them. It's not like he picks them and he says, you. After he knows them, he then names him. For all we know, Jesus could have called 50 men and decided only to know and pick 12. But they weren't picked. They weren't named by the Lord until he knew them. In other words, the Lord vets these prospects. It's only then that he names them and makes them a disciple of his to go forth and preach the gospel. What's interesting in that whole process is what happens to three of them, namely Peter, James, and John. Now, this group of three, Christ got to know before he made disciples, but they're the group that experiences the most special things in the life of the Lord. These three and no one else. In all four gospels, it's the same constant theme. These three see these significant events in Jesus' life. They see when Jesus went first to heal Simon's mother-in-law. They see these three, and only these three, when he gives life to the daughter of Jairus. They see the transfiguration on the mountaintop with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and they hear from him the message of the future. These three, Peter, James, and John, are privy to the most defining experiences in the Lord's life. His power to heal, to give life, his glory with Moses and Elijah and the future, all of that these men see. And remember, seeing it before they saw it, they were clearly vetted by the Lord. Yet there's something amazing about all of this. These three, chosen, vetted, named by the Lord. These three, who had insights in some of the most defining experiences of the Lord's life. These three, you would think, would be at the top of the apostle class, the best of the bunch. Not so much. For these three, clearly, after all of that, misunderstood the Lord, and these three failed him at very critical times. Peter, for example, at Caesarea Philippi, failed the Lord. James and John didn't have enough courage, so they had their mother ask the Lord if they could be seated at his right side and his left side. Peter denied that he even knew the Lord in the high priest's courtyard the night before he died, and all three of them failed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Vetted, chosen, named by the Lord, yet all three miserably failed. That, in and of itself, should speak volumes to us. For pretty much like those disciples, we're chosen by the Lord. We're named as one of his children, Yet oftentimes in living our lives of faith, we fail precisely as they did. We fail to truly live our faith. We fail sometimes to profess it as loudly as we should. We fail to truly serve the Lord and one another. And we fail sometimes to carry our crosses in life. We should take heart, though. We weren't the only ones who failed. Those three disciples who saw it all miserably failed. I think what this liturgy simply reminds us of is that even though at our baptism God claimed us as one of his own, on our journey of life, in the good times and the bad times, on this journey of faith, we fail. And that's all right. It was all right for Peter, James, and John to fail, because it was through their failures that they began to learn what their true mission was. The Lord never kicked them out of that band of apostles. Maybe he should have, but he didn't. But he knew, they will fail me, but they will grow through that experience to be truly men of faith. And they did. And I think the same thing applies to us, only sometimes we forget it. God named us, but didn't name us to be perfect. The Lord loves us with all of our crosses, all of our failures, all of our moments of doubt. And the Lord walks with us through all of those moments to a new and a better day. As we live our faith, we have to remember that. Failure in faith is fine, because God will be there to take us, to guide us, to lead us to a new and a better day, exactly as he did with Peter and James and John. And may the Lord give you peace. And let us stand now and profess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.